Welcome to another edition of Mormonland. I'm managing editor Dave Noyce, and I oversee our faith coverage. I'm joined once again by senior religion reporter Peggy Fletcher Stack. Hello, Peggy.
Hi, Dave.
Well, if you remember, a week ago, the top leaders in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints directed that all displays in foyers and entryways in the faith's meeting houses across the globe be reserved exclusively for artwork that depicts Jesus. They even included a list of 22 paintings for such use. While the push to focus on Christ won wide praise, some observers questioned the approved artwork, suggesting the pieces lack gender and cultural diversity, while offering only a narrow Eurocentric vision. Here to discuss the church's directive and the role of art in sacred spaces is Utah artist Brian Kirschisnik, whose works have become increasingly popular in Mormon homes and culture. He joins us today by Zoom. Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm great, Dave. Thanks. Glad to be here.
We're so happy to have you with us. So let's just start with, what do you think about the church's mandate to use only art of Jesus in church foyers?
I think that, it's perfectly consistent with the efforts to put a little more direct emphasis on our devotion to Christ. And I think there's been, I actually understand, and imagine we'll talk a little bit about the problems that have all through Christianity about iconoclasm. Is that the right word? That the opposition to visual imagery, the tendency we have to give devotion to visual images, continues to be a problem. But I think that they very much want it to be clear when you enter a chapel that these people have strong feelings about Jesus as the Savior and as God, and so I think that speaks certainly more of Christianity than a display case of trophies and plaques and such. So
I'm assuming you've looked at the 22 quote approved paintings. Do you have any favorites among them? Do you have some that you really like?
It's not a set of paintings that I am bowled over by, but you could almost take 22 paintings of Jesus from anywhere, and most of them I would probably take issue with. So that's not strange. I have very strong and deep feelings about Jesus, and understand the problem of making visual imagery of him.
So do you think that putting up these paintings will enhance people's devotion? Or what do you think about the effort?
I understand it. I think that I have often felt that that the Christianity of any or the devotion of any disciple of anything is better described by their actions than by their art. I mean, it'll be reflected in their art, but I find that I am moved religiously by paintings that don't necessarily contain Jesus. I feel like I feel like my relationship to Jesus is sometimes deepened by my having a stronger connection to being a human and relations between humans and God, and I think that sometimes the idea that because a picture has Jesus in it, that it is spiritual is, I don't think that's necessarily the case. And I also, there's a certain element of vanity in the whole idea of a portrait, that somebody who has a portrait taken has generally paid a lot of money, and it indicates a certain economic status, etc. And very often I find that there are pictures of Jesus where it looks like he's posing for the artist, which implies, which kind of connects those paintings with, Frederick the Great and Napoleon and such, which creates a certain sense of vanity that I do not associate with my Lord. anyway, that's one of the...
Speak to the issue of as an artist, what are the challenges of depicting deity like that in art? What are the challenges?
Well, speaking as someone who I would say most often avoids doing, I paint religiously almost always. I mean, I'm a religious man, so I feel like my paintings are religious, but they very, very seldom contain Jesus as a subject. They very often deal with others that sometimes have a divine implication too. But I feel like I don't mind painting God. He doesn't always have to be in the frame, you know. He doesn't always have to be in the format. I frankly have a reluctance to include Jesus, partially because of I feel like in my line of work, there's already a bit of a messiness of my being paid to feel, you know, which I think kind of inclines me to feel ways that are likely to sell better, you know. And so I'm already kind of struggling with that all the time. And so when my devotion is included in that equation, I tend to kind of put some brakes on and wait a while before I tackle a painting that includes Jesus. I feel like I need to be a respectful intruder when I do so. I also need to be brave enough to do it when it's the thing that needs to happen. So it's not a decision I've arrived at. It's kind of a conversation and an argument that's always going on in my head as to whether or not I should. I don't ever want to sit down at my easel and say, I have a mortgage payment coming up and Jesus is really moving well at the gallery. I don't want that to ever be a part. I want my painting to be worshipful enough that it's not driven by that sort of thought. And I think that my line of work is already kind of fraught and under some attack by that vulnerability. And so, but I have had great, and I feel like personally moving and profound experiences working on paintings with Jesus. And I've always felt like, it is better to go at a painting with some question marks than to go at with only exclamation points of what you want to. You're going at a painting to try to learn something and fathom something is good rather than just going to try to deliver a specific message. And that's always been kind of problematic for any institution. You know, they want paintings that where there aren't any open ends, you know, that they fit very clearly within the parameters of the message without any question marks. And so, you know, in the 22 paintings, I feel like, you know, most of them kind of fit somewhere in that range, you know, that not all necessarily, but, I feel like it is a privilege to spend time thinking about, contemplating, asking, trying to fathom aspects of Jesus while working, and I love to do that. But I do worry a little bit about the money part.
Mm-hmm. So you had a pretty famous painting you and I have talked about before. Jesus coming down from the cross.
Yeah, Descent from the Cross is called.
Descent from the Cross. Mm-hmm. Why'd you do that, given all these issues? And
well, I tell you, I mean, it took me years after deciding that I may want to do that before I actually could start the painting.
Really?
And yeah. Well, I had at one point while teaching at BYU, for just a temporary appointment, I wanted my students to be ambitious, so I stretched a huge canvas in my little studio, as big a canvas as I had a wall, which was almost 20 feet long. And I ended up doing a painting, which is Nativity. It's in the BYU Museum collection now. And in that painting, you know, I felt like I was going at it thinking about the complexity, the difficulty, the discomfort, the you know, Mary, who's just been through this ordeal, is actually the one comforting Joseph, who's kind of overwhelmed by the whole thing. And, you know, some of that's a little bit autobiographical, perhaps. But and the angels, there's most of these angels, and some of them are kind of are crying, and people have said, oh, they're crying for joy. And I thought, you know what? I don't know if it's all joy. I think that even if this event is the critical event that needed to happen.
Now you're talking about the nativity?
Now I'm talking about nativity. Yeah. I haven't forgotten your question.
Okay.
even if this is the event that had to happen, when it actually happens, there is a sense of, oh, are we sure this is a good idea? I mean, isn't this too risky? You know, I mean, we know the stature of this being who is now this little purple, hungry infant. Is this a good idea? You know, and so I didn't feel like they were all crying for joy. I felt like some of them were kind of upset. You know, years later, I thought maybe I ought to try another monumental sacred subject. And I wanted to go to the other end of the story. You know, there is, in birth, there is this sense of optimism and joy. And certainly this was the, you know, the arrival of our one shot at salvation. And so I wanted to go to the story at the bottom of the story, the darkest place where Jesus is dead. And the people taking his body down had no notion of what's going to happen in a few days. We can't read that story without knowing what's going to happen in a page or two. And so it's hard for us to really delve into the bleak, their one shot at salvation. It hasn't worked out, you know. And he's dead. All we can do is deal with the body of our fallen hero. And just the bewilderment and confusion. I feel like in life we spend probably more time on those kind of Fridays than we do on Resurrection Sundays, you know, and that it's an important part of discipleship to realize, wow, sometimes you're in experiences that you think, how can this end well? And so I wanted to kind of really go in and dive into the sorrow of that experience, the hardness of it. Because without that hardness, there's no good news in a few days. You know, the good news ain't nothing if he wasn't dead and if it wasn't all over, but no. And so anyway, that's kind of a long answer for your question. But.
So why not put some, what do you think is the role of art in devotion?
I think that the role of art, I'll add devotion here in a minute, but the role of art is to expand, to help us reach into places and thoughts and feelings that are bigger than we are now. And I think in devotion, it should do that in that category as well. I think that and that's very hard in a peculiar sense. If an artist only accomplishes what they intend, then it's generally going to be poor work. You kind of need to be accomplishing more than you intended, and that's really hard to do. That only happens sometimes. And so I think that art that only answers questions tends to feed into a certain complacency of feeling like we know everything. And I think that it's important part of this experience to acknowledge that there's a huge amount we don't know. We have to reach, and it's hard to reach. And so I feel like artwork that helps me in my devotion is about reaching. It's not, I feel like if my questions are good, I'm going to eventually come to answers. If we just answer the question immediately without going through the question, I feel like that is that's not as useful a religious experience. That's not as connecting between me and God. There's a beautiful poem by Rumi that my wife gave to me when we were dating. It's called Love Dogs. And anyway, it's just fabulous. Coleman Barks' translation is just unreal. But essentially, the gist of it is that the dog whining for his master is the connection. And that we pleading to the heavens, that is the connection. So it feels almost like question marks are vital to that. You know, we don't plead to the heavens of, I know the answers. You know, we we're more connected when we're saying, oh my gosh, why is this happening? Or what am I going to do now? Or, you know, how do I live through this? You know, that if those can be fused into our connection to God, that's good. And I feel like art in all of its media does us a favor if it gets us reaching rather than just answers the question.
Brian, let me turn to the some of the approved pieces and just the art, much of the artwork we see in the world of how Jesus is portrayed. I mean, the criticism or the question that people ask is that Jesus just always looks too white, doesn't look Middle Eastern, doesn't seem to fit. What do you say to that?
Well, I would say that people depicting Jesus through the centuries have very often depicted him as one of them. There are these great black Madonnas in Africa. And some of the black Madonnas are ones where the color has just changed, has been a fugitive paint and that has turned black. But I'm talking about African art and Asian art and just art from all different cultures where they depict God as just one of them. And culture, and you know, the society is changing such that becomes a little, that's blurrier. We're wanting to blur the lines between race being a dividing factor. And so, I suppose to some degree, you got to pick one. We know that he was, an Israelite of the, first century and have some sense that he would not have looked like a Viking, you know. Mm-hmm. we don't know what he looked like, but probably not like a Viking. I think that I like the fact that in older versions, this is partially influenced by the fact that it is, separated from us in time, but in older artwork, they dealt with more the idea of Jesus, and in contemporary artwork, there's a leaning into a certain kind of literal depiction that I think takes it away from the idea of Jesus into a guy who just is there in the room, and I think that the pendulum swinging from God being kind of harsh and judgmental to the current age where it's often a little too sugar-coated. Sometimes I hear a depiction of the kindness and sweetness of Jesus, and I think, have you read the New Testament? it doesn't sound to me like he was always very easy to be around, and even when he's saying, suffer the little children to come to me, he's kind of upbraiding his disciples, And right. I have a sense of a Lord who is trying to save my neck from a fate that I can't even understand, rather than one who's choosing my favorite flavor of ice cream, he's not saving us from an inconvenience. It's a lot bigger than that, and I think that sometimes trying to bring Jesus kind of onto the sofa, we lose some of the kind of the horror of his mission, the impossible courage and dread and cosmic brilliance of what he had to bring about. And it's okay if he's not stroking our head right now, you know.
Let me ask you about a diversity question, I guess. You know, 7 of the 9 artists are men that are in the approved art. Would you like to see, obviously, more art from women? And what do they bring? And what about more? And I don't mean this to sound self-serving for you. More work from Latter-day Saint artists, like more Latter-day Saint
more
artists.
Mine.
I mean, just more artwork approved and used in church presentations and publications from members.
My feeling is that it would be that I would be more comfortable with less of an approved list. I think that inclusion of Jesus imagery, mm-hmm. allowing for more national diversity, for regional preferences, on the understanding that my feeling is that most paintings of the Lord I don't personally like, but frankly, as I understand the statement, it is that images of Christ that are in the building can be used. If you want to add any others, you got to go from this list. But I hope that that the list becomes a little less confined, that can include possibly stretch out a little bit. I am not advocating for inclusion of my work. You know, I kind of want to be careful about that. I think it'll be a while before Jesus and the Angry Babies is I'm really glad I made that painting, but I think it'll be a minute before that's showing up in foyers. I mean, it would hurt my feelings. I think it's a great metaphor. A better metaphor for our relationship with the Lord. He's often dealing with a bunch of misbehaving infants more than well-behaving cherubic children, and so I'm not by no means sorry I made it, but I understand that's not necessarily in keeping with the more official kind of more reverential
right
depiction.
It sounds like just from your descriptions that you favor art as sort of challenges the viewer and frankly the artist. I mean, it sounds like when you're describing painting it, I thought of a creative writer sort of discovering what is going to be there rather than knowing ahead of time. Correct?
Yeah. And I think that, and I understand that there would need, you can't just put up anything because Jesus is in it, you know. I think that there were no surprises on the list. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know the process that went through. I don't know such things, but I think that I would have been happy to see. You're talking about more Latter-day Saints and more women artists. I actually would have been happy to see a little more older stuff, dead people. It is not as much a part of current cultural. A conflict racially when it's Rembrandt, it becomes less an issue of gender dynamics and racial diversity when the artist has been dead for a while. And I feel like that it needs to be more about Jesus than about current debates. And frankly, Rembrandt often used a Jewish model in his paintings of the Lord, which I think was not typical before him. BYU has one of those, a little study, head study, that is thought to be, by Rembrandt. So my own style is not to like say, hey, there needs to be racial and gender diversity among the producers of the art. I
I feel like it would be okay if the list was maybe 5 or 6 times bigger. And older and newer and Catholic. And the problems and depictions of Jesus are not limited to the LDS Church. It is a rough age for religious art across the nation and across the world. You know, well, sometimes we say, well, we're a younger church, but excuse me, but contemporary Catholic religious art, and they've had a long time, used to be better. It's not great now. The age is problematic. It's not just that.
I mean, but to the question of diversity, I mean, what you said about creating art is that you bring questions to your art. And if there were more artists asking more questions, it seems like we would get the diverse. I mean, it's not just about gender, and it's about better questions, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's right. And you know, there are obviously there are artists who will want to be confrontational in their depictions of Jesus. And I feel like that is okay. That probably is not for the foyer, you know. I mean, we don't want to be greeting someone with a baseball bat, you know, saying all of your thoughts about Jesus need to be turned on their head. I mean, Jesus himself was almost always turning your preconceived notions on their head. I mean, it was problematic to be with him and to understand everything he was saying. He was throwing bits of the law of Moses, you know, redefining the ways that we needed to be and what we thought was important. And so I think that a more vigorous, courageous look into the message of Jesus would be good. And some of those kinds of paintings would the point of asking questions is not to always unsettle or unseat your viewer. You know, I mean, I feel like it's good to have a certain affection for your audience, but I think that I agree with you, Peggy. I mean, that some questions, a painting that suggests to me, wait, maybe the way I've always thought about it is not the way it is. I think that's really useful. I think that's beneficial.
Why not some of this art in the chapel?
Well, it doesn't surprise me that it would have to go through some, that there would have to be some decisions made about work that was considered to be crossing the lines. But I would be very comfortable with work.
You know, older chapels has lots of stained glass windows.
Yeah.
With Jesus in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
New ones are pretty utilitarian.
Yep. Yeah.
What about temples?
I believe that this is not necessarily just a top-down, you know, church administration problem. I think it's just a general cultural problem that the way we interact with art makes for, if there are paintings with people in them, then contemporary audiences are more likely to find them distracting than they are supportive or comforting in a temple, for example. So a landscape is just safe. It's not going to raise anybody's eyebrows. I don't mind having my eyebrows raised. I'm comfortable with that. I like that. I've found that's how I find God, and that's how I find myself, and that's how I find things, by kind of having my notions challenged. And so I would love that. I kind of like going to some of the older temples where there's a little more of that, and I don't always agree with it. Sometimes I feel like, oh, that was a bad choice, but I'm comfortable with that kind of conversation. And I am moved by paintings that I don't like all of them, or I don't, you know, or I, so I don't have to just love a piece and be comfortable with it and not distracted by it in order to want it to be part of my worship. But, you know, I don't know I don't know how typical I am. I know some people would be pleased with that, but I would like to go into a chapel and see a painting that made me think, wow, I think I got to rethink this. I would like that.
Well, we shall see if that ever happens. So,
you know, and I don't, and frankly, you know, I am an active participant in the church. I don't ask the First Presidency to tell me what I can and can't look at. You know, I don't, they govern that real estate and they make those decisions, and I'm not going to rise in rebellion because it's not the 22 that I would have chosen or the 850 that I would have chosen. But I am perfectly free to let my worship be enriched and enhanced by as many pictures as I want to enjoy and go see in person or see in reproduction, or, you know, I mean, they have not clipped my wings by any.
Brian Kruszcznik, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Stay safe, okay?
Yes, you too. Thank you, all of you.
And thanks to Peggy Fletcher Stack.
Always a pleasure.
And to our producer, Chris Samuels. We remind our listeners that they can keep tabs on all the happenings in and about the church by subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. Just go to sltrib.com to sign up, and we'll talk again next time on Mormon Land.